You are tuned in to WRIR LP 97.3 FM. Richmond, I am Lightning's Girl. This is the beginning of Cause and Effect. This is a very special edition. I've lived here for 10 years as of September 1st. And so when I thought about what I really wanted to do to truly celebrate my decade in Richmond, I thought there was only one way to do it. And I'm going to play a song first, and then I'll explain. So if you haven't figured it out quite yet, my special guest for this evening is the vocalist of that band that you just heard, which is On a Roll. The song is called My Place off of The Pretty Song. And I have Bob Schick. I am so thrilled to have him here. Thank you, Bob, for joining us here tonight. And I have Kenny helping me out. There's a lot of things to celebrate, not just me being here for 10 years and for Bob coming out of the woodwork for this special occasion. But I was hit by a car last week, and remarkably, I am here to still do a radio show. So I'm pretty excited to be here on so many levels. So I have some extra help because I can't really move around the studio super well, but there was no way we had worked hard enough on the show that I wasn't going to let it happen. So, Bob, let's get this out of the way. Tell us a little bit about your musical pedigree, the bands that you've been in.
I've been in a number of bands. I started playing music in like 1981. I noticed in the playlist that there's something by a band that I played in when I was in high school with my friend.
Surprise!
my best friend Chip and my brother Steve. And I continued to do it all the way through 2001. And then when you came into town in 2001, I had just stopped doing it. And in the same month, September of 2001, I started dating my neighbor, who's now my wife, Melissa. So that's another reason to celebrate September of 2011, and I'm very happy about that. And
Yay!
I'm just excited. I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited that you're well. I'm excited to be here.
So if you don't mind sharing, Bob, how old are ye?
I'm 47 years old. Quite old. Solidly middle-aged.
Well done, sir. You've aged quite gracefully. I'm thrilled that you actually took the time to pick 2 hours of music of influences, but before we sort of dive into the set you've picked for tonight, you weren't originally from Richmond, is that right?
Yes, I grew up in Indiana. I spent most of my young life in Indianapolis. I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana for a couple of years. So Indiana was my home. Virginia is my home.
Now, you mentioned that you played with your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Is your family musical? Were you guys the only ones who played instruments? How did that work out?
Actually, my brother Fred plays guitar. He played guitar on the Dynamic Truths releases at the very end. He played guitar on a few songs. Other than that...
Your parents didn't play anything?
No. I started when I was a kid. I was in the choir at school. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and we have Bob's family sneaking into the studio as we go here. Hi, guys.
My wife, Melissa, along with my daughter, Abigail and Rosemary, are here.
Yay!
Abigail and Rosemary both sing for the church choir now. Abigail's doing it currently. Rosemary did it when she was young. And I did it when I was young. I went to Catholic school for 11 years, and they pulled about a dozen of us out of class to sing at various times. And it was fun.
Oh, so it's nice to know that music has been passed on to the family. So if we can go back to Indiana for a second, what was happening in Indiana that got you excited to be in a band and do the punk rock thing?
I've always been fascinated by music ever since I was very young. And once I got to be about 12, 13, or 14, I would start riding my bike to the record store to buy records. And I was always looking for something. I didn't know what it was, but I was always looking for something, so that ended up, that made me come home with something different every week, it seemed. And some of the things really, really, you know, really, really influenced me, and a lot of them just went by the wayside. But there's some things in this set that were important to me when I was very young. And
were you just going by cover art? How did you know that these were the records for you? Were you reading zines?
I read Rolling Stone and Cream magazine when I was a teenager, but oftentimes I was influenced by what was playing in the record store at the time, and that I found a couple of things like Peter Gabriel, which is in this set list, that just came to me completely out of the blue and was something that I really connected with. I had no idea what it was about, and so I was surprised by things, and I was always looking for something else. So that's led me on this path to being completely moved by music and have loved it ever since I was very small.
And Battered Youth was your very, very first band. How old were you when that started?
17.
And I wish you could see the face Bob just made. He's clearly uncomfortable and cringing at this. Did you know you wanted to be in a band?
I didn't think I knew I wanted to be in a band as much as I just wanted to do something. And I always sang ever since I was a small child, and just seemed to be the thing for me. So I did it. I didn't really have the aptitude for any instruments. My brother Steve is very, very talented, and Fred's very, very talented. But I just got frustrated with things, so I just continued singing.
And I'm really glad you stuck that out, because the balance between your lyric choice and your very specific vocal style, I can't imagine you doing anything else. So before we start playing with the first set, how did Battered Youth transition into Honor Roll? Did that actually happen in Indiana?
No. Steve moved from Indiana in September of 1982. I went to school in Indiana for a semester and then moved out to Richmond at Christmas time, 1982. I met Penn the first time I came to visit here, and I mean, he was very magnanimous, very friendly guy, and we became friends, and he was playing with somebody else at the time, and then within a few months, Steve started playing with Penn, and then roughly a year and a half later, Jeremy and I joined Honor Roll because Grant, who was a bass player, left, and Penn didn't want to sing anymore, so he asked me if I wanted to do it, and I did.
That's right. Penn was the vocalist to start. I always forget that.
Yep.
Well, let's kick off with some music. And I have to start with a song because I find the beginning absolutely terrifying. I admit, I did not know this song very well. And it actually made me jump the first time I heard it. So consider you warned out there. So why this? Tell me about The Mob. What's up with Witch Hunt?
That was a group that we discovered when I first started working at Plan 9 in the summer of 1983, and Jeremy had yet to come down from Northern Virginia, and he was a fan of theirs, and I played it in the record store a couple of times, and the singer was so bad that Petey and Jimmy just begged me to buy the thing so I wouldn't play it in the store anymore, and we just loved it. I mean, as you can hear, it's a combination of, I guess, what they would call goth and punk, and I think that group in particular was very influential with Jeremy, who wrote a number of the early songs that we did, like Purgatory and Judgment Day and stuff like that. So that's where it comes from.
All right. Well, without further ado, the terrifying track, Witch Hunt.
Killing all fans, and there's not quite enough to sit around in an arm. couldn't live in those people places. And if I get to know my actions, I'd run away from toilets and faces. I'd run away to a non-date on the street. 'Cause I'm in a trance. Oh, an ass.
eyes upon you. Close your eyes and think of nothing but private hell. Private hell. Bring down a man and a watch and still in your husband's Harry and your grandchildren. Think of Edward, still at college. You send him letters which he doesn't acknowledge. Cause we don't
You're tuned into WRIRLP 97.3 FM Richmond. I am Lightning Skirl. This is Cause and Effect with special guest Bob Schick, vocalist of Honor Roll Choral, Dynamic Truths, Battered Youth. But first, RVA Magazine presents the RVA Music Fest September 10th and 11th. Day one showcases will be held throughout local venues. Then on Sunday, September 11th, Shaka Bottom will host an outdoor celebration of Richmond music. Several stages will feature local and national acts, including Girl Talk and Best Coast. Schedule and tickets can be found at rvamusicfest.com or rvameg.com. The City of Richmond has created a plan for scheduled removal of hurricane debris. Large trees and limbs should be removed within 7 days, while loose brush cleanup may take as much as 45 days. City residents may dispose of their own debris by dropping it either the East Richmond Convenience Center on Richmond Road or East Richmond Road or 3060 Maury Street, two blocks north of Holly Springs Avenue. There is no fee. For those who wish to leave their debris for curbside pickup, brush items must not block sidewalks, drainage ditches, or parking lanes. They may be placed in alleys, but must not block alleyways. More cleanup information is on the web at richmondgov.com. So, Mr. Bob Schick, let's talk about the set you just picked for, to kick things off with me here. So, we have Roy Milton behind me, RM Blues. I wouldn't have necessarily pegged you for a blues fan. I know we have another blues song coming up after this. What gives?
Kind of my personal theme song these days, because the key lyric to the chorus is I may be wrong, but I won't be wrong always. and before that, we heard The Jam setting Private Hell from Setting Suns, The Clean, Anything Could Happen, and probably something, a theme that will recur, especially in the first three songs you already heard, for singers that can't sing. Frightened by the Fall, Splitting in Two by Alternative TV, Mice Race by Rudimentary Peni, and Wish Hunt by The Mob. The first three especially, like I said, singers who can't sing. So clearly I'm not hung up on technique and never has been. But
So what it is it the the angst? Is it their lyrical choice? What was it about these bands that drew you in the first place?
Well, I think it was both lyrics and the angst. And I mean, the rudimentary Peni song especially was one that Penn and Steve and I all bonded over very early, and that was such an important song to me because it was very confrontational and impossible to ignore. I mean, when you hear the last line, and you know, perhaps after all, thinking too much doesn't pay is a theme maybe recurred again in Nirvana when they did Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Right.
So it was cool to see that come up again in 1991, whenever it was. But
so you've been paying attention to lyrics since the beginning.
Always. I was always, you know, always hung up on words, and it doesn't bother me if somebody can't sing. If they're saying something that really touches me, then I'm touched by it. And I remember meeting John Loder, who was the engineer for many of the, probably all the records that were on Crass Records when he was on tour with Fugazi. And we talked for a long time about, I asked him about the Mob because it was a record that really meant a lot to me, and he just said how agonizing it was and how long it took to get those vocal takes. And and like I said before, that Petey and Jimmy just thought that it was just the most awful thing they'd ever heard. But it worked for me.
So do you think that sort of concept of lyrical content, meaning, helped shape the individuality of what Honor Roll ended up sounding like when there weren't very many bands doing what you guys were doing?
Yes, without a doubt.
What were some of the bands, we're talking early 80s at this point, or mid 80s, who were some of the bands you were playing with at the time? That you consider sort of your peers, bands that you thought were kind of remotely on the same wavelength?
We played with a lot of people. We played with the Good Guys probably more times than we played with anybody else, and they were nothing like us. And the people who came to see them just basically stood and stared at us the entire time and just waited for us to be done. But we played with a lot of people. We played with the Minutemen. We played with Husker Du a few times. We played with the Replacements, Meat Puppets. I mean,
were you touring nationally, or was this all around here?
Those gigs were here and in North Carolina. We did go out to the West Coast twice, and then the last time we went only as far as Minneapolis and came back. But by that time, we knew that the band was not going to last, so we only did it for 2 weeks.
Okay, so what year was that?
That was in 1989. When the second Honor Roll album came out on Homestead, we had, for all intents and purposes, broken apart and just did that to pacify the record company and to get out there and play the record for people.
Was that just going to eventually happen as bands, sometimes the chemistry starts to evaporate, or is that a symptom of how hard it is to be a band on the road? Because I know touring is definitely a makes or breaks a lot of band relationships.
Yeah, I don't know. I think creatively we were in different, thinking of different things. Chip and I were closer to in what we wanted from the band, and Penn and Seth, who took over after Steve quit, were doing their own thing, and they had Butterglove at the time, and so it was
the fracturing had already begun.
Just different. Yeah, it was just different. Just and wanting different things.
I know you are a huge fan of music from the UK, but did you guys ever play there?
No, we didn't.
Never made it overseas at all?
No, my friend Nick Solomon, who recorded under the name of Bevis Frond, he and I used to write letters back and forth, and he wrote me a letter saying that he'd heard this one song of ours twice, 2 weeks in a row on John Peel, and I put feelers out to Homestead Records to see if we could go over and record a Peel session, and it just didn't get anywhere. Penn didn't want to get on an airplane, and you know, it didn't make sense just to go over and play a radio session. It would have made more sense to go over and play, but we never did.
How in the world did you befriend Bevis Frond?
I loved his records, and I was in England in October of 1987, and I went to the record shop where I figured that he might go, and I asked them, and they said, oh, here's his address. So I wrote him a postcard, and then he called me up the next day at the hotel and said, hey, you know, I'd like to meet up if you want to. So that's how it happened.
That's awesome.
It was. It was fantastic. It was
See,
absolutely
I've known you for like 12 or 13 years. I had no idea you were familiar on a genuinely personal level with him at all. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic. I was so lucky to see him at South by Southwest in 2000 when he came over, and it was just great.
I'm jealous. So my final question before we get back into some more music is, so where was Honor Roll the most popular? Because you guys weren't super well received in Richmond proper, were you?
No, we always did better in Raleigh and Washington, D.C.
Interesting. All right, well, we're going to kick things off with Sunhouse Death Letter Blues. Anything you want to say about this one?
It's a fantastic song. The lyrics and the playing are great. I hope you like it.
All right, here we go.
This morning I do, you rang it red. You said, honey, gal, your love is dead. I got a letter this morning. How do you ring it red? You know, sir, hurry, hurry. I call a gal, your love is dead. Oh, I grabbed up my suitcase, took out down the road. When I got there, she's laying on a cooling board. I grabbed up my suitcase, and I said, I took her down the road. I said, but when I got there, she's laying on a cooling board. Well, I walked up right close, looked down in her face. It's a good old gal, got a day, the judgment day. I walked up right close, I said, I looked down in her face. I said, the good old girl got a lay in her judgment day. Look back at the 10,000 people standing round the burying ground. I didn't know I loved her till I let her down. Look back at 10,000 who were standing round the burying ground. I didn't know I didn't love her until I began to let her down. Well, I fooled up my arm. I slowly walked away. I say farewell, honey. I'll see you judgment day. Yeah. Oh, yes, I walked away. I say farewell, farewell. I'll see you judgment day. You know, I didn't feel so bad till the good old sun went down. I didn't have a soul to throw my arms around. I didn't feel so bad until the good old sun went down. You know, it's so hard to love someone don't love you. Satisfaction, don't care what you do. Yeah, it's so hard to love someone don't love you. You don't look like any satisfaction, don't care what you do. Well, I got up this morning to break a day, just hugging the pillow. She used to lay, I said, soon this morning. Yes, it's a break of the day. You know I'd hug in the pillow. Oh, how my good gal used to lay. I got up this morning feeling round for my shoe. You know I must have the walking blues. Soon this morning. Feeling out from my shoes. Yeah, and I know about that. I must have the walking blues. Oh, hush. Thought I heard her call my name. It wasn't so loud, so nice and plain. Yeah. We'll be right back.
do anything for you. But we never seem to make it like lovers do. Date after date, we break after break. I wait on the hours waiting for you. Time after time after time, and it seems the fault is never mine, and yours is the coolest crime. Yours is the coolest crime. I would do anything for you. But we've never got to know each other like lovers do. Night after night we talk until bright. I wait on my nerve ends waiting for you. Time after time after time, I'm balanced on a brittle line, and yours is the coolest crime. Yours is the coolest crime. I would do anything for you. But we've never got to know each other like other lovers do. Night after night as all feelings fall through, I wait on the corner waiting for you. Time after time after time, I'm left on my face in the slime, and yours is the cruelest crime.
Just begun. Where the eagle glides descending, there's an ancient river bending through the timeless gorge of changes where sleeplessness awaits. I searched out my companions who were lost in crystal canyons when the blade of science slashed the pearly gates. It was then that I knew I'd had enough, burned my credit card for fuel. headed out to where the pavement turns to sand. With the one-way ticket to the land of truth and my suitcase in my hand, how I lost my friends, I still don't understand. They had the best selection. They were poisoned with protection. There was nothing that they needed, nothing left to find. They were lost in rock formations or became park bench mutations. On the sidewalks and in the stations, they were waiting, waiting. So I got bored and left them there. They were just dead weight to me. Better down the road without that load. Brings back the time when I was 8 or 9. I was watching my mama's TV. It was that great Grand Canyon rescue episode, where the vulture glides descending on an asphalt highway bending through libraries and museums, galaxies and stars, down the windy halls of friendship to the rose clipped by the bullwhip. The motel of lost companions waits with heated pool and bar. But me, I'm not stopping there. Got my own road left to hoe. Just another line in the field of time. When the thrasher comes, I'll be stuck in the sun like the dinosaurs in shrines. But I'll know the time has come to give what's mine.
Howdy, this is Buzzy from WRIR's Shake Some Action. I invite you to join me every Saturday morning from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., right after the British Breakfast, for tunes from the 60s and 70s, some by artists you may know and others by artists you may never have heard of, and also some that I may never have heard of, but it's always a joy for me to bring you the music every Saturday morning right here on 97.3 FM WRIR. Richmond Independent Radio. Join me for Shake Some Action, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturdays. You can also find us at WRIR.org.
All right, you are tuned in to WRIRLP. This is Cause and Effect, and I am Lightning's Girl, here with Bob Schick, who is going to tell us the three songs we just heard.
We just heard, in reverse order, Neil Young, Thrasher, from Rust Never Sleeps, Patrick Fitzgerald, Cruelest Crime, and Sun House with Death Letter Blues. I think we're continuing along with the theme of singers who can't sing, especially for Patrick Fitzgerald, and some unkind people might say that about Neil Young. The Neil Young song was especially funny to me because I got that record when I just turned 15, and I thought that song was just so fantastic. I had to tell my dad. I had to get my dad to listen to it with me. And he was very polite, and he came upstairs and listened, and I have no idea why.
Was your dad a Neil Young fan?
No, not at all. Not at all. My dad was a Glenn Campbell fan. But I just thought that this song was just so earth-shattering that he absolutely had to hear it, and that would definitely make his day. He would, like I said, he was very polite about it.
and tell me about Patrick Fitzgerald. That was somebody who was new to me while putting together the set.
Very obscure. I got this compilation record that Polydor put out in 1979, probably, and he had a song on there which I thought was absolutely great. And then when I went to England in 1984, I went and bought up all of his other records, and I came back and actually wrote him a fan letter because I was so taken with the stuff that he did, and he wrote me back, And just like Kenny was just saying, and that it, the song was reminiscent of David Bowie, and he reminded me that the song that he did on one of his albums called My Death was a Jacques Brel cover, but he did it because David Bowie did it. And it does sound very much like David Bowie.
Okay.
But
how much time did you spend in the UK?
Oh, I don't know. I've been there like 7 times. I don't even know. Maybe 2 months altogether. I don't know. But like I said,
and
it's over a number of times.
And this is why your record collection is as spectacular as it is.
Yeah.
You have some of the sort of UK and New Zealand records that people would die to own. And they've crossed your path. And now I didn't realize you'd been overseas 7 times. And that somehow makes so much more sense to me now.
Yeah, I loved it. I went for the first time in 1980 on a school trip, and then ever since then, I've always wanted to go as often as I could afford to go, and I just like it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the time that I went in 1984 with my friend Doug was when I bought all those records, and the exchange rate was very, very beneficial to Americans at the time, and it was just like I bought up so much stuff. It was like carrying back blocks of cement or something. Bags were so heavy, I couldn't believe it.
Well, back to Richmond, I think one of the things that I'm most curious about was what was happening in Richmond that inspired you musically? Was there anything that sort of clicked with you once you moved here that changed the way you were in a band, the way you decided to write songs, sing, shaped your lyrics?
It's hard to say. I always loved Penn, and he was fantastic, and in 83 and part of 84, everybody was sort of going with the grain of music. And then after about halfway through 1984, he started to pull back. And that was, I don't know, it was, we liked it, but we didn't like all the aspects of it, of the hardcore scene or whatever.
Right.
And so we started to do our own thing. And while there was no audience for it and no scene at all to speak of, we just did that. And, I mean, the thing about Honor Roll was that it was 4 distinct individuals with 4 distinct points of view and, you know, influences. And it was unique to us, you know.
Well,
I mean, other people would say it was derivative. Some other people would say it was like nothing they ever heard. But we were all going for what we really liked. And fortunately, it all fit together.
Right. Before I ask you about your lyric choices, I dug up a quote that... now, was this from the Maximum Rock and Roll 1986? I found it on... I can't remember which blog, but I love this quote from you. And you say, "I always thought that sloganeering was sort of embarrassing, like the stuff 'if the kids are united' was just moronic. To me, it was about being different. I enjoyed the gang experience of being in a band, but... that was the biggest gang I ever wanted to be a part of. I guess I'm just too particular to want to be lumped into a bigger group than that. I'm happy to be friends with people, but usually I'd rather stand on my own. And that's not because I'm especially brave or strong. I just prefer to be on my own." And I feel like that really ties into your perspective of how you write your lyrics. And so I was curious... Obviously, you're a big music guy. Are you a literary fan? Do you have writers that are really influential to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about those for a second.
I love William Faulkner. I love Kurt Vonnegut. I love lots and lots of different things. I was reading constantly. When VCU was kind enough to suspend me at the end of 1985... poor performance. And... I always would have rather worked and rehearsed with the band than go to class. So since I chose those other things, VCU didn't choose me, and that was fine. But at that time, my reading just went into overdrive, and I just read all kinds of stuff, you know, books that Chip had, books that Doug had downstairs, and just got a lot of different stuff. William Conrad, Jack London, I mean, just everything, lots and lots of different things. And I guess I would say that I'm easily touched by people, and I like people, and I just, you know, I identify with people. I always have. I always have.
So I think that was actually my next thing is, where your actual vocal attack is pretty aggressive, there is truly a very humanistic, empathetic. You clearly pay attention to your environment and have a really natural way of describing them. It's never super fancy pants. I never feel like I needed the thesaurus the way I needed it for like a Bad Religion track. There was something, I don't want to say Hemingway, because you didn't have that sort of macho edge to it, but that
it's
sort of...
It's funny that you mentioned that. It's funny that you mentioned that, because with the fall song that we played before, which was a song from, I mean, Frightened from Live at the Witch Trials, which I absolutely adored, which I read, which I listened to when I was in high school. I remember going to the library, listening to the Live at the Witch Trials in order to do a paper on Hemingway, and not liking the Hemingway book, actually. and coming at it, doing a paper for school that was coming at, instead of doing a positive book review that would encourage people to read it, I actually did a negative book review and said I didn't like it. So it was The Fall and Hemingway and Mark Smith in general and The Fall have just been just my favorite for the longest time. And I think he's truly original and completely fantastic and a legend, and he probably stopped being interesting to me in the mid-90s, but it doesn't in any way detract from all the fantastic work he did before that. You know, I mean, I just think he's great, and his lyrics are so impressionistic and neat, and not at all like what I write, but I still love it.
Right. Well, okay, let's get back to some more music, and I think there's some bad weather warnings happening. I have to check online in a moment because I can sort of hear them in the other room. So if anything is not coming out over the air, we're recording this. So if there's bits that you don't get to hear, I will be posting a link to this interview afterwards just in case the official emergency broadcast system bumps in a bad weather warning. So what's the first track we're going to hear? John Cooper Clarke?
Yeah, John Cooper Clarke's Beasley Street. And you may have heard John Cooper Clarke last year on the last season of The Sopranos, which used one of his songs at the end of an episode, which was just completely fantastic. And I actually fell out of the bed when they put it on because it was so funny and he's so obscure. But there
wow.
you go.
Wow. All right. Well, let's get to it. You're listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond.
From crazy pavements, the taste of silver spoons, a clinical arrangement on a dirty afternoon, where the fecal germs of Mr. Freud are rendered obsolete. The legal term is null and void in the case of Beasley Street. In the cheap seats where murder breeds, somebody is out of breath. Sleep is a luxury, they don't need a sneak preview of death. Belladonna is your flower, manslaughter your meat. Spend a year in a couple of hours on the edge of Beasley Street, where the action isn't, that's where it is. State your position, vacancies exist in an ex-certificate exercise, ex-service men excrete. Keith Joseph smiles and a baby dies in a box on Beasley Street. From the boarding houses and the bed sits full of accidents and fleas. Somebody gets it where the missing persons freeze. Wearing dead men's overcoats, you can't see their feet. A rift joint shuts, opens up right down on Beasley Street. Cars collide, colours clash, disaster movie stuff.
for a man with a Fu Manchu moustache. Revenge is not enough. There's a dead canary on a swivel seat. There's a rainbow in the road. Meanwhile on Beasley Street, silence is the code. Collar, an inspector calls where the perishing stink of squalor impregnates the world.
Doorkeep shall not enter this whole land. We wise and human stand sipping from this helpful cup of peace. Not one shall enter, not one. Doorkeeper shall not enter. Disa-oh-la-la, we wise and a true man stand, sipping from the cup of peace. You chant down on Babylon, you chant down on Babylon, you chant down on Babylon, chant down on Babylon. Give thanks and praise. Give thanks and praise. Give thanks and praise. You give thanks and praise to the whole man of creation. Aye. Chant on a Babylon, chant on a Babylon. Give thanks and praise, give thanks and praise, give thanks and praise, give thanks and praise to the whole man of creation.
Thank you. nation, Ska nation, cause the children have got to be marveling as if them can't satisfy. Jano, shoot him up alive.
So make them go on, know it come, but in the end is we have to write it down. So make them go on, know it come, but in the end is we have to write it down. What a cheek, them think we meek, and we can't speak up for ourselves. What a cheek, them think we weak, and we can't stand up on our feet. But make them go on, know it come. And in the hen is we waft the ride a storm. So make them one, know it come. And in the hen is we waft the ride a storm. The CRE can't set we free. The TUC can't do it for we. The Liberal Party them is not very hearty. And the Tory Party, I know for we party. So make them one, know it come. of you have to really ride the storm. So make them one, know it come, but we have to really ride the storm.
You're listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM. I do want to let you know that the National Weather Service has posted a flash flood warning as of 7:54 this evening until 11 p.m. tonight. There are lots of counties affected, but the one that affects our listenership is downtown Richmond. Just thought I should let you know that. I know that there was a breakthrough. The service comes through and interrupts the show to let you know that anyway, but I would rather be safe than sorry and let you know that there's a flash flood warning, and I'll probably make that announcement a couple more times. This September 17th, Slow Food USA invites you to take back the value meal by taking the $5 challenge. For this National Day of Action, you can pledge to share a fresh, healthy meal costing under $5 per person with family, friends, and neighbors. How? Shop your local farmer's market, cook together, and organize a potluck. Why? Because slow food shouldn't have to cost more than fast food. To see how easy it can be and sign the pledge, you can visit slowfoodusa.org. This is Cause and Effect. I am Lightning's Girl here with Bob Schick of Honor Roll. So excited to have you here, Bob. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for asking.
Let me start this Pere Ubu track. And let's talk about what we just heard. Let's start with the Pere Ubu track behind us, Humor Me.
Pere Ubu's Humor Me is from their first album called The Modern Dance, which was an absolutely fantastic record that didn't get nearly enough attention, but has remained golden ever since. Before that was Linton Kwesi Johnson with Independent Intervention. Before that was Culture with Too Long in Slavery, Dr. Alimentado's Born for a Purpose, Burning Spears' Door Peep, and we started off the set with John Cooper Clarke's Beasley Street. I should mention that a couple of concerts in Richmond in the mid-1980s to late-1980s by both Burning Spear and Culture were hugely important for me because they were just so wonderful, so intense. And
were you already a reggae fan at this point?
A little bit, but not that much. It was just the pure devotion in the singing that really won me over. I mean, it was just fantastic, especially Burning Spear. I mean, I really didn't know what to expect, and he came out, and it was just incredible. It was just really, really wonderful. And I've seen him a couple times since then, and while it wasn't as good as the first time, but just a wonderful, wonderful singer, a great atmosphere. It was just so fun.
And I'm guessing people who are familiar with the music you've made probably wouldn't peg you for a reggae fan. How did that happen?
It's the same thing that's guided me ever since I was a little kid. It was just always looking for something else and finding something that was really, really true in the singing and the lyrics. I mean, it's the same with the Son House track. I mean, it's so direct and it's so completely without any affectation that it just can't help but reach you. So I love it. It's a pure expression.
And I think one thing that I should sort of backtrack and explain in how Bob and I even got to know each other. So growing up, one of my first boyfriends ever that I lived with made me a mixtape that he called Emo Core, and on it was some Honor Roll, and that began my early obsession with Honor Roll, and then Choral, and then later Dynamic Truth. And so if you told me the sort of, you know, 19-year-old me that I would ever get to know anybody in any of these bands, no less live in the city that this music was happening, I certainly wouldn't have guessed that was ever going to happen. And then I began working at a music company that was a distribution for music called Caroline. And as a sales rep, one of my early accounts was Plan 9. And Bob has worked. When did you start working at Plan 9?
1983.
A long time ago.
Yes.
So I think as a music fanatic, and I know I was pretty much the minute I could buy my own records, have been sort of music obsessed as well. And when you have a job in the music industry, it's sort of, I can only imagine it's like being an alcoholic and working at a liquor store, because you have this endless supply of new music. And I know so many different kinds of music I maybe wouldn't have been excited about, like electronic music, because Caroline were pretty early on that bandwagon of Astroworks and really cutting edge warp music stuff. Ninja Tune, that it kind of changed my life. And I constantly had crazy, new, exciting records coming to me. And I'm sure as a buyer, you had somebody like me giving you records all the time to check out. So you constantly have this influx of new music to explore.
Yeah, I feel incredibly lucky to have had the job that I have and to have been exposed to all this wonderful music and to be able to partake in so many different things as they happened. And, you know, it's just been fantastic. I mean, it's just been wonderful to make friends with the people that I talk to on the telephone, to get to meet some of them, to get to know more, you know, some of them as well. It's been wonderful. I mean, it's just perfect. It couldn't be any better than it is. I'm so happy that I got the job at Plan 9 when I did, and I'm so happy about all the things that have happened since then, and it's just perfect.
I'm guessing not very many people know that when they buy a piece of music from Plan 9, there's a really good chance that you're the one who helped make that happen, because as the buyer at a record store, you're making the decision of what comes in that door. So, I can think of so many cool records that have come through that store, and you were the one that had the foresight to help make that happen, which, I don't know, I think that's made you even more, you were already an eclectic music guy, but I feel like that position just even expanded you further into, I think, you know, your jazz. I mean, you've gone in so many directions just in the 12 or so years that I've known you.
Yeah, it's always that looking for something else. I mean, loving what you have and what you know, but at the same time looking out for something else and being able to be moved by that thing and wanting to share that with other people is just, I mean, it's very fulfilling.
So I wanted to sneak these two questions in because, should we explain who Chip Jones is?
Yes. Please tell everybody about Chip. Chip is my best friend. Chip and I have been friends since we were kids. I mean, I was probably 16. He was probably 14 when we met. And we have, I think, a similar look upon things, a similar way of doing things. And we come from very similar backgrounds. I mean, he's just a great, great friend and a wonderful person. And, you know, I just feel really, really lucky.
Well, his two questions for you. What is your favorite word, and will you ever write a book?
My favorite word is...
Hopefully it's FCC friendly.
Yeah. I'll have to say made, because it's something that you create. And I would have to say, yes, I will write a book. I've started writing a book. It's called I Made It Myself. It is about my own experience and everything that I have experienced, and it's about taking credit for the things you've done that have gone well and owning up to the things that you've done that haven't gone well. And it's about being an active participant in life and not feeling as though things rolled over on you and you had no voice in it. I mean, we need to take credit for what goes on, and you need to take responsibility for what goes on.
That's so exciting. I talk to you pretty regularly, and I had absolutely no idea. So thanks, Chip, for planting that seed. That's kind of an exciting news announcement right there. I'm so excited to know that. And that's how soon? What kind of timeline are we looking at here?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't write consistently. I only write when the mood takes me, and frankly, that's not going to be good enough.
Well, let's get back into some more music. And after Honor Roll came to the end, and that would be mid to late 80s, is that right?
1989, we played our last show in the summertime.
Okay, and how quickly did Coral start?
6 months later.
You're fast.
Yeah, I played with a few different people, and we did some stuff, and then I played with John Kowalczyk and Matt McGuigan and a bass player whose name I don't recall at the time, and they played me their song that became Your Reward, which was on the first Coral single the very first night, and I thought it was great, and we just took it from there, and it was a lot of fun.
All right, well, we're going to kick things off with the Verlaines' Joed Out. Anything you'd like to say about this track?
No, it was 1987. I was just starting. Homestead made a deal with Flying Nun to put out some stuff, and that was a song that I really liked. I was taking guitar lessons at the time, and I got the guy to teach me how to do it, and I loved the song.
I got to be honest. Once I heard the song and applied it in this set, I can hear you in it. I really can. So here you go, the Verlaines with Joed Out.
The wind has been unkind. And the priest all got out. Mark this date on your calendar, September 16th. WRIR is starting its fun drive early this year. As the summer winds down, WRIR winds up for a fun drive full of music, talk, live bands, food, and you. Finally, you can show off your summer tan in that exclusive WRIR t-shirt. Get ready for the fun drive for the rest of us, September 16th through the 25th.
And I am Lightning's girl. This is Cause and Effect. I have a very special show today. We only have about 20 minutes left. I'm with one of my favorite vocalists of all time, certainly my favorite Richmond musician of all time, Bob Schick. Thanks again for being here. Let's see, what did we just hear, Bob?
In reverse order, we heard Coral with the song called Floating By.
What made you pick that one out of all the Coral tracks you could pick?
I just like that song. It was a good lyric from when I was a kid and lived in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it was about saying goodbye to a friend, and I just loved it. It was from a very specific time. Before that, we heard Salt-Chunk Mary doing Someday I Will Treat You Good, which was the pre-Sparkle Horse band that my brother Steve was in and my best friend Chip was in with Mark Linkus before Sparkle Horse, and it was just, they were just fantastic. They were so, so great, and it was such a shame that they weren't a success as a band before Mark decided he wanted to do it on his own. And they were just great. I remember seeing them and just being just knocked out by how great they were, and that they all seemed like stars and they were just ready to go right to the top.
And there's just demos floating around, right? There was never a proper record?
No proper record. Some of the songs ended up on Sparkle Horse albums in from 1 to 3, mm-hmm. But no, there was never a release of that stuff, and it was really a shame because they were a fantastic band, and the subsequent versions that came out on Sparkle Horse were not as successful as those in my mind, but there you go. Before that was Elvis Costello, Waiting for the End of the World, which was a song that was tremendous to me when I was a kid, and before that was the Verlaines, which is the song that I learned in guitar lessons and didn't follow through on.
And we have Honor Roll behind me. I want to sneak in at least one more Honor Roll song. We have Judgment Day behind me. And now, Merge Records reissued the discography for Honor Roll, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did they do the Coral record as well?
No. There was a Coral song on one of their compilation CDs, but we only ever did 2 singles for them. We gave the albums to Cargo Records out of Chicago.
Right.
So they merged, like I said, merged did 2 45s.
And when Coral faded out, what year was that?
I think it was 1994. No, it was 1995, and then Dynamic Truth started in 1996. So, yeah, that's the way that went.
Gotcha. And so Coral did 2 records total, right?
2 albums and a handful of singles, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to get into some more of the fun punk rock stuff. Hopefully, I know we're not going to probably finish through the set because I enjoy talking to you. And I think that's more important than trying to sneak in all the music. So worst case scenario, anything we don't get to play, I'll make a little mix at the end and add the tracks we didn't get to. I know you're mortified by the fact that there is a Battered Youth track on here, but I can't tell you how many people when I said I was interviewing you... They all asked, Battered Youth, is that going to happen? So this is, I'm going to dedicate this to pretty much all of Richmond who harassed me to make sure the song happened tonight. So what year was this from, Bob?
We recorded it in 1982. We did it in 2 hours on a June Sunday.
Well, here we go then. A young, angry Bob. Some things never change.
That's right.
Yeah.
have just a couple minutes left on Cause and Effect, and Paul's Boutique is up next. I am here with Bob Schick, and I'd like to thank Kenny for being my arms and legs today. Since my accident, I'm not getting around so fantastically, so he's been enormously helpful doing all the things that I can't do standing up. And Bob, thank you for taking the time to pick these songs and for coming in and talking about the music that's inspired you and for telling a little bit more about your story. It's just super appreciative. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be asked and happy to pick some songs out and just, you know, very, very happy that I'm here.
All right, so let's talk about what we just heard.
We just heard, in reverse order, The Dynamic Truths with the Angels from the CD Understanding is Overrated. Before that, we heard Snuff, Take Me Home, which was one that I used to practice to before we would record The Dynamic Truths.
Like a vocal warm-up?
Yeah, just, yeah.
So awesome.
It was just fun. And before that was Zero Boys, who were the band in Indianapolis that I used to go see all the time, and they were fantastic and great friends, and they were huge to both Steve and Chip and I. Before that was the Battered Youth song.
Sorry, Bob.
That's okay. Chip likes it. So, you know, and now you're hearing the Buzzcocks, Fiction Romance, which was a fantastic song, later rewritten by Husker Du for Everything Falls Apart as some other titled song, but the same song. And hopefully we'll get to a little bit of Leatherface, Not Superstitious, one of my all-time favorite songs, music that I would describe as stirring. And in the same category as that, in stirring music, I would include the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter, the Beatles' A Day in the Life, the Clash' Complete Control, and Sex Pistols' God Save the Queen, and just...
That's no joke.
Something that just really hits it, and it's just great. So...
And I will definitely be making a little mix of all the songs we didn't get to tonight. So, and I'll have Bob write some notes about those. So all the things we didn't get to, we'll get to online. So at least we can complete it that way. Let's talk a little bit about the offshoot bands, because there were quite a few offshoots to the Honor Roll family tree. You had Coral, you have Dynamic Truth, Penn, Battered Youth. Penn and Seth were in Butter Glove.
Right, and then Penn did Breadwinner with Bobby Donnie and Chris. And Steve and Chip did the Salt Chunk Mary, which became Johnson Family, the same band, just different names. And Seth went on to play in Keepone. And all the bands were really great, and I really enjoyed seeing all of them.
And Penn was in Loincloth, but no longer. And what's he up to now?
He's working at the copy shop. I don't know what he's doing beyond that. I think his hearing is damaged. That's what he told me last time we spoke. And for that, I'm really sorry, because he was and is a dynamite musician and a great guy all around.
Fontaine seems to know something.
I thought I heard there was a Loincloth recording coming out.
There is, but Penn is not a part of it. Loincloth was picked up by Southern Lord, record coming out November 22nd. But I don't believe Penn plays on that record. I think he had skedaddled by the time this recording had happened.
But Tannen does, and Tannen was a great friend. And
right.
Was with us the last time we went on tour. He came with us, and he was great.
And your life post-music, your writing,
mm-hmm.
You have a fantastic family. How many children do you have?
Five. I have five children. Bobby, and Ryan, Scott, Rosemary, and Abigail came down tonight, along with my wife, Melissa.
And I know the girls sing. Any music happening with the guys?
No. We have guitars and pianos at home, or a piano and some guitars at home, but nobody else has really picked it up yet. Rosemary does choir at middle school. Abigail sings at church, and they love it just like I did. You hear something you like, and you want to sing along.
Do I have to ask this question. What are the chances of a reunion for any of these bands? Are you done?
No. Every time I hear a song I like, I want to sing it. So I'm not done in any way. I'm just...
You haven't recorded any music, though, since Dynamic Truth. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
But we have the book to look forward to.
Yes, yes. And I look forward to it as well.
And I know we just have about one more minute left before Paul's Boutique is in. And Dynamic Truth... had their record that was supposed to come out on Merge, never happened. because the band broke up, and it was reissued last year. And we had thrown around the idea of maybe trying to do a reunion show. And I don't know if you feel comfortable mentioning this, but you had a health situation pop in. And I think part of me wanting to celebrate tonight is the fact that you're here.
Well, I want to celebrate the fact that I'm here, too. I had cancer a couple of years ago. I went through an operation and radiation, and I am currently without cancer, and I'm happy about that. And
I think this entire room is pretty happy about that, Bob.
Well, thank you. That's
and
very
I
nice
can't
of you.
Imagine as a vocalist having mouth cancer is a pretty terrifying thought. So, you know, I can feel sorry for myself being hit by a car, but you kicked cancer's butt. That's pretty remarkable. So, to my 10 years in Richmond, to you being still here, to me still being here, to RIR for letting us have this opportunity, and I'm gonna play a little bit of Leatherface, and then Paul's Boutique up next. Have a great night, and thanks again, Bob.
And thank you.